This is Marco Reus.
This is Shinji Kagawa.
This is Nuri Sahin.
Hello, this is Jaden Sancho.
And you're listening to the Yellow Wall podcast.
Hello all and welcome to episode 476 of the Yellow Wall Pods. I'm Yosha from Botsko and today we will talk about the first leg of the UEFA Champions League semi-final between Borussia Dortmund and PSG. And if we have time, we'll quickly gloss over the league loss against RB Leipzig, which probably means Dortmund now have to fully focus on the Champions League. For all that and more, joins me Matthias Zuck. Hello Matthias, happy Tuesday, how are you doing?
I am doing okay, Stefan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It is match day minus one. And I said just in the pre-pod, I will treat the Leipzig game like Dortmund treated the Leipzig game, as in probably didn't really focus much on it at all, to be honest. You said the opening, I don't know, what was it, 20 minutes and whenever, until whenever Dortmund took the lead, Dortmund looked like they took it seriously. But after that, if you watch the game, let's just say Leipzig were a bit more up for it than Dortmund. What are your thoughts on the 4-1 loss against Dortmund's ex Marco Rose and his team?
Well, I mean, Leipzig outperformed their XG and Dortmund surprisingly underperformed their XG. Füllkrug with a huge opportunity. It was like minute 9 or something like that. Gulashi with a save. And then shortly after, you had a Julian Brandt shot that Gulashi saved, resulting corner, Füllkrug just over the top. I mean, there were like three really good opportunities. And of course, Sancho's goal was really, really nice. The problem in, believe it or not, rewatching key moments of the match was in attack, Dortmund actually didn't play poorly in the sense that they had a lot of nice combination play, very fluid. And Leipzig are good defensively, and not every attacking move results in a goal normally. but Leipzig just decided, you know, let Dortmund have the ball. We'll play on the counter with our speed and exploit their fullbacks, which they did. Excuse me. Sorry. Choking on that one a little bit. Dortmund's fullback play, I would say this is probably Julian Riasson's weakest match I've seen him play. He was outclassed, he was outpaced, he was outpositioned far too often. You saw, you know, I remember there were a few opportunities where I see Jadon Sancho move into a defensive position at fullback and trying to direct Füllkrug. I'm as confused as the defense. Schlotterbeck then doesn't follow that. He also goes wide, and then you have openings in the middle, and then you've got Niklas Süle standing there with like two or three attackers around him. I think that was the fourth goal for Leipzig. And yeah, there was just a lack of cohesion and organization defensively. The buildup, you know, when they lost possession, it's not like Leipzig played through Dortmund at that point. They just kicked long balls and used pace. And they used that effectively. And then Wolf played really, really poorly. Also at fullback, attacking wise, he's fine. Defensively, he was bad. He kept letting Xavi cut on the inside. That's like, you know what he's going to do. He's push him out wide. He's going to cut inside on a stronger right foot and try to shoot and or play possession that way. If you push him outside, it's like defending Arjen Robben. Even though Xavi, I wouldn't say, was as good as Robben, but you knew what was going to happen. And somehow they still couldn't do it. I feel like Matsen would have made a difference because he would have been in his left position and Riasson on the right position. I think that would have already helped a lot. Also simply dealing with pace in those types of situations. But it was defensively Dortmund just weren't there. I have very big concerns around Niklas Süle. I feel that this is his make or break summer at Borussia Dortmund. If he doesn't get in better fitness shape during the course of the summer, I can see the new triumvirate at Borussia Dortmund in terms of Ricken, Mitzlaff, and Kehl in that kind of...
You mean Mislintat?
Mislintat. Mitzlaff. Leipzig. Leipzig, yeah. Mislintat. All sounds the same. Then, you know, Niklas Süle is gone. You know, I think you... Because you can't rely on him in terms of pace and positioning, because his positioning's off because his pace is off. And that's just simply down to fitness. If he can get his fitness up to, I would say, early Bayern and Hoffenheim times, you've got an extremely good defender. Or even early at Dortmund when he was playing right back, he was fit. But his fitness has completely fallen off a cliff this season, which also explains why 35-year-old Mats Hummels is starting ahead of him, who isn't exactly a speed demon, I might add. So, yeah, it was just a bad match against the fizzy drink franchise cult from Leipzig. And I say cult because, like, what's with the everyone wearing white t-shirts and was that, like, dark gray jeans and white sneakers? Mario Gomez and that whole cult section for Leipzig, they were all dressed the same. I'm like, come on, guys. I mean, I know you're pure corporate franchising, but try a little for individualism. I mean, it's not that hard. Maybe put on a different colored t-shirt.
Yeah. I like I said on Twitter, I think Mario Gomez has betrayed German football. If you think that RB Leipzig is the team for you to, you know, have your career after your career, I think that's just morally wrong. So, I don't really have too many points about this game. I want to move on as quickly as possible, if I'm honest. But, I think we have to talk about Felix Metscher because he went viral by just taking a stroll on the field while Leipzig were kicking the ball around and not really, not really even trying, you know. And for someone who hasn't really done much for Dortmund this season, whose price tag was 30 million and who... came here with a lot of controversy around him, I feel like you should at least attempt to give the fans the feeling that you're doing your best while you're on the football field during the few opportunities you're getting due to your injury concerns. And I must say, I think he fell entirely flat off that, and Dortmund fans are very... I don't know if perturbed is the correct word, but I've seen a lot of people really unhappy with Felix Metscher, and obviously a lot of people are saying, okay, let's give this guy a little bit more time because it is his first season and he had a lot of complications. He probably needs a full summer preparation and whatnot. And I'm overall all for that, but what he showed against Leipzig just was so far off the mark that it is at least very concerning, considering he might get maybe subbed on in the Champions League or so in the very important games. And so, hopefully he'll stay away from that. But I think that this one point we need to say. I mean, Adeyemi himself also didn't have his best game, but I at least thought that Jadon Sancho played well. He had a really decent goal. Julian Brandt was okay in this one, and Charlie Özcan is... due to his limitations. I honestly, everything you said, I very much agree with. It was obviously annoying to see Mats Hummels leave the field because you have to worry about the midweek game. But it for now looks like he's going to play tomorrow. And I think Ian Madsen obviously is in team training today, and so are Daniel Malen. I think these... and Sebastian Allaire is also in team training, although for him I think it's pretty clear that he's not going to be playing against PSG, but at least, not in the first leg, but at least there are chances that and hopes that he will be up for the return leg. So in terms of personnel, it's maybe not as terrible as we thought it was going to be, with Madsen seemingly also having a muscular injury, which I wasn't really aware of. But Matthias, what can we expect from this Champions League tie? do you think, or in percentages, how high do you think the percentages between favorite and underdog lay? Because when we talked about Atletico, it was probably a 50-50 matchup. According to you, maybe 55-45 in Dortmund's favor. How would you accentuate this one?
Well, I would say 70-30 in the favor of PSG right now.
Yeah, that's what I meant too.
I mean, it's just hard to argue any other way. I mean, according to Transfermarkt, you know, the value of PSG side is 1 billion euros. I mean, just think about that. 1 billion. And they don't even have Leo Messi or Neymar or Verratti in their side anymore. But they do have Kylian Mbappé. And Mbappé is worth 180 million overall. He's probably going to go for over 200. And it is the Kylian Mbappé show, really. If you look at overall, he scored 26 goals for them with 7 assists. And that's the Mbappé show. I mean, really, behind that, next goal scorer is Gonzalo Ramos, who would sub in for Mbappe, who scored 11. Colomwani has scored 6 times this season. Then you had Vitinha, who plays in central midfield, who's pretty good, with 7. And then Hakimi with 4 goals. I mean, that's, and 5 assists from Hakimi as well. Most assists are coming from Ousmane Dembele. So there's a little bit of ex-Dortmund in this side. At very high quality and very high price tag. Of course, this PSG side is nothing new to Borussia Dortmund. They already played them twice this season. We'll try to forget the first time, remember the second time. And I think this is the key one. This is why I weigh it 70-30, not just because you've got arguably one of the top 2 or 3 best players in the world playing for PSG right now in Kylian Mbappé, but that the tie is not in Dortmund's favor in the sense that the first leg is at home and the second leg away. That's why I weighted the tie against Atletico more in Dortmund's favor, because of how bad Atleti are away from home, and that second leg was at Dortmund and that Dortmund gave them a chance after the first leg. This is going to be Dortmund have to win. There's no question about it. They have to win. You know, if they come out with a draw, yeah, of course, technically that's a really good result against a club like PSG. But if you want to advance, you need a win. PSG haven't been challenged really in this season in Ligue 1. They're, you know, waltzing to another league title. They did play 3-3 against relegation candidate Le Havre.
Didn't they just wrap it up this weekend?
Yeah, they did, with a 3-3 draw. So, you know, it's going to be incredibly difficult for Borussia Dortmund. This first leg will tell us everything. I don't foresee them winning in Paris. I think a draw could be, if they show up like they've been showing up in the Champions League, then yeah, of course. But this first leg will be the key. They need to shut down that wing play more than, of course, you need to shut down Mbappé, but it's kind of one of those, you can't stop him, you can just try to contain him type players. It's like in Erling Haaland, it's nearly impossible to stop him, but you can try to contain him in somehow. But it's really, you need to shut down the balls getting to him, specifically from the wings. That is where the majority of the assists come. They come from left wing, right wing, and the fullback position, specifically Hakimi. You need to shut those down. So what you need is Ian Madsen, who will be back, who will be fully rested, of course. And then Riasson in his more natural position. And then you need your wingers to press and stick and be able to track back. That is the key component. If they do not do that, you are in for a long night. Because I think Dortmund could shut down PSG centrally, because that's not the core of their build-up play. It really isn't. it is across that wing with those players, with that speed and that technical ability. If you do not get Dortmund's attacking players to press effectively and to track back effectively, it's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully, I mean, my 1A lineup for Dortmund would be Alea, and then on the wings you have Malen and Sancho. Right now, obviously, Alea is not going to play, but Füllkrug has been okay recently. So I think if they are fit enough to go, I would definitely start that way. I think Sancho definitely is. And I think Malen can hopefully go like a good 60 minutes, and then you play Adeyemi after. That is sort of how I would probably set it up. As for the midfield, I think Sabitzer, Brandt form another double eight, probably fall behind a little bit to a little bit deeper, and then Emre Can needs to be the anchor somehow. I don't know if Terzic will play Özcan as well. I think that would be a mistake. I think Dortmund can't play too defensively, because then you will have very little going forward, and I think this is a game you need to win. So you need to play it with the mindset of having to win this game, and you need to play attacking football. For Dortmund, what's important, I think, similar to the Atletico game, is that they manage to keep long stretches of possession when they have the ball. Especially in the first leg against Atleti, there were a lot of stints where Dortmund could have pushed forward and could have tried for a goal, but they sort of stepped on the ball around the opposition's box and then circulated possession and were looking for gaps, obviously. But just to give yourself a little bit of breather and make sure the opposition runs. So I don't know how good of a pressing side PSG are, because I think the big advantage that Dortmund had against Atleti is that Atleti become very passive if they don't themselves have to push for anything. Because the mistakes that Dortmund gave up, especially in the first leg, those were basically two mistakes that came under pressure. Once Atleti had a two-goal advantage, they stopped pressuring Dortmund. They even got tired in the end, because Atleti is such an old team, and Dortmund then took full control and nearly could have equalized at the end of the first leg, and obviously did take the lead very early on in the second leg. And whenever Atleti made their little comeback, then they restored to their passive form. And Dortmund can only hope that PSG will be a bit more conservative in their approach, and will hope that they, I don't know, play for a draw and then hope to win it at home or something. Because if PSG come out with a good pressing and counter-pressing and really stress Dortmund in possession, I have very little hope, because that's been Dortmund's biggest weakness this season, I would say. Just the giveaways and where they give something. Because once Mbappé gets behind Hummels and runs toward Kobel, it's probably curtains. We had these situations a couple of times in Atleti too, and we were lucky that Morata, for example, scuffed his lines, if you will. And so, yeah, I think what's also important for Dortmund is to keep their heads. That's another thing that I find very important in terms of discipline, because we have Emre Can there, Mats Hummels also, I would say. Not because Hummels is someone that will just knock someone to the ground, but we know that Emre Can's point is that PSG are provocateurs, and they will try to get a reaction out of him at some point during this two-leg tie. And for Hummels, it is important to know that being having all 11 players on the field, and I think that counts for every defender, is more important than a single goal, I would say. So I hope that Dortmund manage to not have what we call a Notbremse in German, to be the last defender and foul someone and then be sent off. I think that would be catastrophic. So that is something that Dortmund need to avoid. It's something that Barcelona did not manage to avoid in the second leg. And I think one of the bigger reasons why we're playing against PSG now and not Barcelona. So yeah, that to me really is what Dortmund need to do. Obviously, they need to push forward. And if the combination play of the second leg against Atletico can be replicated, or the first 20 minutes against Leipzig, I think Dortmund have a decent chance of troubling PSG and their defense as well. So this is why I think it's 70-30 and not 80-20, because Dortmund have shown, at least in the Champions League this season, that they actually can play a really good brand of football. And I think the at least my hope is, but knowing Dortmund pretty well, I think we can assume that Dortmund will show an entirely different face than they showed against Leipzig, because I think it was clear that their minds were very much on the PSG game in that game. It's not like they tried their absolute hardest to beat Leipzig. I think that's fair to say, and I think the Dortmund-PSG tie will be similar to the Atletico tie, where they will just try everything they have and leave it all out there on the field. So that's my hope. That's sort of my key aspects for the game. Do you have any other annotations?
No, just play well and don't mess it up. As always. No, I mean, just play consistently. If Dortmund play like they've consistently played in the Champions League this season, I am cautiously optimistic of a good result in the first leg, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Yeah, I mean, Dortmund really need to stop committing so many blunders and errors like they did in the quarterfinals, because I think a better team than Atletico would have punished this even worse. So he is hoping that Dortmund manage to not do that, and of course set piece defending, another very important part, because Dortmund, especially in the recent weeks, have leaked a lot of set piece goals, be it Leverkusen, be it Leipzig, be it Atletico, a lot of goals off corners. So that's certainly something that needs to be improved, and I'm especially looking at Julian Brandt, who I don't know, has made a tradition now to lose his marker completely out of sight. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say, really, Matthias. Maybe one aspect that really is irking me now is that just how annoying modern football is. You know, we are playing a gauntlet of Leverkusen, Leipzig and PSG. Leverkusen are owned by pharmaceutical giant Bayer. Then Leipzig are entirely bankrolled by Red Bull, but not only Leipzig, but also half the players that scored on us, I think, had a past in some farm team like Salzburg, for example, which is also very annoying. And then, of course, PSG are almost entirely bankrolled by Qatar. So,
and Xavi, who's playing for RB Leipzig, is on loan from PSG. So.
Yes, that is correct. All I'm trying to say here, Matthias, is that while it's obviously nice to be in a Champions League final, I absolutely think it's totally unfair to us as fans that we have to deal with a country like Qatar just buying a club and you know, as you just said, their squad is worth €1 billion. Euros, and I think that is very far off the sporting integrity, and we often forget to mention these things, but I think the sporting integrity in this tie is grossly violated, and Dortmund stand to a very big disadvantage going into this. Financial fair play has entirely failed, thanks to UEFA being absolutely terrible. So while I'm really excited about the Champions League semi-final, if it were a different team, I think I'd be a bit more excited than to play against PSG, because even though Paris is a beautiful city and I've been there a couple of times and enjoyed my time, I feel like PSG itself, while they also have a great tradition in this form, is not something I really appreciate or care about. So yeah, it taints the whole experience a little bit in my book, and I think UEFA and FIFA are to be blamed for this scenario. That's my thought on that. I don't know how you feel about it, but
I agree. I mean, if you just look at the dynamics of it, you know, PSG is worth €1 billion. Manchester City, owned by United Arab Emirates, is worth 1.2 billion. Borussia Dortmund's, and this is the value of the squad. Borussia Dortmund's squad is valued $463 million. Now that's still a lot. Don't get me wrong, but RB Leipzig just shy of $500 million. You know, this is RB Leipzig. Bayer Leverkusen just shy of $600 million. And Bayern, they are just over $900 million. So it's not like they're not a high value squad, but Bayern, it's different. I mean, you think about it, they've been building this since the 60s. The same cannot be said of Leverkusen, Leipzig, Manchester City, PSG, Newcastle, basically 80% of the Premier League. Because Newcastle United, all Saudi Arabia owned until recently. Chelsea was a Russian oligarchy. You know, now it's an American oligarchy. And I just love the fact that they're absolutely failing. But even you look at a Wolfsburg, you know, they're in the top seven or eight of value in the league, and they're really a lower tier team in terms of Bundesliga tier.
Well, thank God. If the Champions League spots were entirely dominated by the Bundesliga's 50 Correct. Plus one violators, I think it would be even more detrimental. It already is to a great extent.
Correct. I mean, the saving grace is that, like, Hoffenheim means nothing to anybody, neither does Zinsheim, Wolfsburg. It's funny, I was talking to my parents who are in their 80s, and I said, you know, when Olaf Scholz said there's going to be a Zeitenwende in Germany, I was like, I think he probably meant Bayer Leverkusen win the Bundesliga. and my parents were like, yeah, but Leverkusen is just, you know, Autobahnausfahrt in front of Köln. And that's really what it is. I mean, that's all Leverkusen is. It didn't exist until the 30s. And it's named after a guy who owned basically an apothecary, Karl Leverkusen. I mean, it's nothing. There's no euphoria in Germany behind Bayer Leverkusen winning it. There's a euphoria that, well, at least Bayern didn't win it again, but that's where it ends. You know, if it would have been Stuttgart or Köln or anyone other than Leipzig, Leverkusen, or I remember when Wolfsburg won the title, everyone was like, yeah, okay, fine. You know, and it's kind of, it's really, really sad. And I stand by, I'd rather see Bayern win it 100 times in a row before I see Leipzig win it once. And non-German football fans don't get that, and I just couldn't care. Premier League fans don't get that, but they've had to give up their soul a long time ago. And, you know, you look at a PSG where it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to the ownership. You know, Leverkusen, when people talk about how great Xabi Alonso is, and yeah, he made a huge difference for Leverkusen, there's no denying that, but it's still a squad that's worth almost 600 million euros. That's 130.2 million euros more than Borussia Dortmund. You know, and that's something you have to think about. It's like when Leicester City won the Premier League and everyone's like, oh my God, it's a Cinderella story. I'm like, they're still worth hundreds and hundreds of millions of euros, bankrolled by, I forget if they're from Thailand or Indonesia, but Southeast Asian billionaire. That's not a Cinderella story, you know? So let's not act like it is. You know, in that aspect. So, yeah, I'm completely there with you on this. It saddens me, but when we look at Dortmund in their Champions League group where they went through these bankrolled teams, maybe they can do it again.
Yeah, that's my hope. Obviously, I think that PSG should never win the Champions League, just like I thought Manchester City should never win it, just for those reasons. Just like I don't ever want to see Leipzig win the Bundesliga. Like, it just sickens me. So, on that note, I think it's time to end our little preview. But yeah, I think it needed to be mentioned that the the cheating in world football is just atrociously ruined the sport, and I wish it could be reversed, but obviously it's probably going to be worse rather than get better. So yeah, Matthias, I hope you have a amazing time watching those two games, and yeah, everyone tuning in, thank you for listening. We'll be back after the PSG match for sure, so tune in, and if you want, we also post these podcasts on YouTube on the Yellow Wall Pod is, I think, the channel name, so if you want to subscribe there, you can do this as well. Just wanted to give that a quick shout out. Anyhow, goodbye.